What would your industry think if we didn't even talk about raising fuel taxes, but do what other states like Colorado I mentioned, put a delivery fee on every delivery?
So once again, this is a very simple concept. We're trying to make it simple, you know, simpler to understand. We're talking about increasing the tax rate and reducing registration fees so it'd be net neutral.
They all think that we're just stupid. Transportation Committee, here we go. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another installment of the program. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. It's the age-old debate. Is it a fee or is it a tax? Is it okay to tax people if they don't know about it? My friends, all of it is nothing more than flim-flam man subterfuge. And this time, all of it is predicated on the notion that we just don't have enough money for our roads, so we have to jack up everybody's taxes. Now, I understand. We all have a favorite stretch of highway where, when you travel down it, it's kind of an open question of whether or not you're going to lose a tire. And there are those pieces of Wyoming roads that I'm pretty sure were constructed in the shape of a fishbowl, with the sole intent of collecting water. I love that. It doesn't matter how new your tires are, you have to slow down to 45 to get through the lake that's in the middle of the interstate. And every time I approach one of these things, either the giant pothole that I'm fairly certain is going to swallow my car, or the lake that I'm considering stopping by because I'm pretty sure it contains a couple of trout, one thing goes through my mind. For the love of God, would you fix the road that I've already been taxed to fix so that I'm not causing damage to the car that I am taxed annually to drive, which I purchased with the income you already taxed, which sits in the driveway of my home that is already highly taxed? Think about the ridiculousness of all of this for just a second. You go to work so that you can get a paycheck. You take some of that money and you purchase a vehicle so that you can get back and forth to work and go to the lake and go to the mountains and all of those things. But you have to pay a tax yearly in order to drive your car. And you're forced to buy insurance for your car, which is also taxed. And then you have to pay another tax to put fuel in your car. And I'll tell you why this whole conversation surrounding taxes gets me extraordinarily angry. Most of the people that go to Cheyenne, or Washington, D.C. for that matter, get it stuck in their head that their sole job is to spend your money, to come up with new and inventive ways to fund their own little pet projects. But that's not their job. The job of the government is really fairly simple. In fact, it couldn't be any simpler. And all of this goes back to fiscal conservatism 101. The government really doesn't have to take care of that many things. In this case, we're talking about roads. Now, however complicated they try to make that, it's not that hard. Make a hard surface so that I can drive on. Of course, we all want police, we need fire, and we have to administer the government, you know, water and sewer and all of those things. But apart from that, government's job is to remain small, to take care of only those few things that are absolutely necessary. The rest of everything else is to be taken care of by us. And the idea being that we take personal responsibility for our own lives and we don't rely on the government to do it all for us. But that's never how it works out. There's always a new program or a new service, and you are always going to be forced to pay for it. Government always seems to get bigger and dumber the more time goes on. In the last legislative session, hundreds of millions of dollars were given to all sorts of different councils and groups and boards, my personal favorite being the Wyoming Arts and Humanities Council. And then there's the Wyoming Business Council. Just love them. Want to have a failed business? Ask the Wyoming Business Council. And don't forget about the $360,000 that you gave LGBTQ activist organization Wyoming Equality. That was for condoms. So we give all of this money, hundreds of thousands, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, to all of these organizations. And then we hold a meeting of the Transportation Committee where we blatantly say that YDOT doesn't have enough money. Pretty ridiculous, I know. Or you could be the two highest-ranking members of the Wyoming legislature and write an op-ed in the Cowpie that says that we saved, in this past legislative session, $1.5 billion. That's billion with a B. So there was plenty of cash floating around last January and February. If you didn't know, that's when our legislature meets, except for this year when they're only going to meet in February. So anyhow, they had $1.5 billion floating around. And you can't tell me that they didn't know that YDOT allegedly needed more money. Now, we can get to whether or not they actually need more money later on in the program. So let's just say that you have $1.5 billion in spare change rattling around the Wyoming Capitol. And you know that you've got road problems if, for no other reason, you had to travel I-25 to get to Cheyenne. Never mind that maintaining our system of transportation is one of the main functions of government. Why wouldn't you take a small percentage of that giant pile of cash and fix the problems on the roads? Any of us would. If we've got a problem, a giant hole in our roof, and we've got the cash to fix it, even if we don't have the cash to fix it, we find a way to repair it. The roads for the government are no different. Don't forget that during this past legislative session, they gave hundreds of millions of dollars to groups like the Wyoming Arts and Humanities Council. They've got so much extra money that, frankly, they don't know what to do with it. So much of it that they can give hundreds of millions to groups that have nothing to do with the essential functions of government. And after all of that spending, they still had enough left over to put $1.5 billion in the bank. But somehow, in the middle of all of this funding frenzy, they forgot to take care of the roads. Really? These people are either complete morons, I'm leaning towards that one, or they should have challenged George C. Scott for his role in the Flim Flam Man. So remember, there was $2 billion total that they were playing with. $1.5 billion of it went into the bank. And here is the total amount that the Wyoming Department of Transportation says that they are short. This is the chief financial officer of YDOT. Now, completely ignore all of his inane qualifying and hedging statements. You'll get the point. Listen to this.
At the time, based on the 2019 numbers, we were $354.3 million annually short of really needs, not wants, but needs in terms of meeting our mission across the entire spectrum of the organization. What we did do was, fast forward a little bit to IDJA, where we actually received a little more federal dollars in the last bill, in the last federal bill. That provided us roughly about an additional $100 million of federal funding. So what we were saying at the time was we took that into account, right? It's fair. We got more federal dollars, needed to add that into the equation. So at one point we were about $264 million a year short in needs. Now what has happened since then is inflation, some extraordinary inflationary costs that we've seen. Directors mentioned it, I've mentioned it. And so we are back to, we're actually finishing up the numbers now for our fiscal year 2024 budget presentation. So I don't have the exact number with me now, but that brought us back up. That inflationary impact brought us back up to about $400 million a year unfunded needs. So it.
$400 million. To you and me, that seems like an astronomical amount of money. But in government math, Wait a minute. None of them down there know anything about mathematics. But it's only 20% of the $2 billion that was slushing around the Wyoming Capitol this last legislative session. Add on top of that that they completely ignored the needs of YDOT, if indeed they were short $400 million, but they completely ignored it and instead put $1.5 billion in the bank. And of that remaining $1.5 billion that they apparently didn't need to spend on any other project in Wyoming because they put it in the sock drawer, the exorbitant grand total that YDOT says that they're short on their budget, $400 million, is only 26% of the remaining $1.5 billion. It doesn't matter how you slice this whole thing up. They had the cash, they didn't spend it, and now YDOT says that they're short almost $500 million. And at the same time, all of the Redcoats are claiming the mantle of being the Wizards of Smart for saving that $1.5 billion. They're not taking any credit for allowing our roads to deteriorate to what YDOT says are 2019 levels. And I don't think that I have to remind you that in 2019, if you left Casper going north on I-25, you were likely to lose a shock, if not two of them, on your vehicle. Thankfully, they're now fixing that little issue. But it's not because of what the Wyoming legislature or Ogden Driscoll or Albert Summers or bonehead Brian Boner have done. It's in spite of them. I'm sure that Wyoming citizens would have been far more impressed had the Redcoats said, we saved $1.1 billion and we were able to fund YDOT completely. I'm sure their hindsight is 20/20. As it is, though, YDOT says they're $400 million short, and the Redcoats have a brand new idea to solve their financial woes. It's great. You're going to love it. And I'll tell you about it after an obscene profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for any type of metal structure, whether it's a barn or an outbuilding or a roping arena or maybe a giant warehouse for your business, the two guys that you should absolutely talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. They are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else, and they do a much better job than anybody else. You're not going to get their 50-year warranty on the foundation from any of their competitors. So whatever metal structure you're thinking about putting on your property, give Nick and Jesse a call. Again, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Coming tomorrow is a brand new firearm auction from Gunrunner Auctions. Every month, beginning on the 7th, Scott Weber and his team at Gunrunner Auctions post 500 fine firearms for sale. All of the auctions start at $20, and there's no reserve. You'll find all sorts of guns, Winchesters, Colts, rare military weapons, and a wide variety of ammunition, sometimes ammunition that you can't find anywhere else. No matter what your firearm needs are, whether you didn't know that you were looking for a fantastic new gun, or maybe you're looking for some sort of accessory or some ammunition that you've been having a hard time tracking down, go to GunrunnerAuctions.com. I'm sure you'll find exactly what you didn't even know that you were looking for. New episodes of the program are published every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday morning. And don't forget about the Thursday live episode, which begins every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. You can find the link at cowboystatepolitics.com or on the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. And now, back to the program. So YDOT says they don't have enough cash to fix the roads that you've already paid to have fixed. They don't have enough cash because the Redcoats decided to throw $1.5 billion into the bank and not focus on important things like preventative maintenance and repair. Now let me just explain this just for a second, because you might be saying, holy crap, Dave, spending money is not conservative. Correction. spending money on frivolous things like the Arts and Humanities Council is not conservative. Nor is it conservative to give Wyoming Equality, the largest LGBTQ activist organization and the one advocating for chopping the limbs off of little children, $360,000 of your money so they can buy condoms. That's not very conservative either. Nor is it very conservative not to fix the things that you already have built so that you don't have to spend more money on them later. When the Redcoats utter the word conservative, you know they're trying to pull a fast one on you. Well, that, and I'm pretty sure they just barfed in their mouth. Allow me to give you one little example. One of my cars is a 1996 Toyota with 135,000 miles on it. That thing is in perfect working order. It's got really nice tires on it, and everything works on the inside. When something needs repaired on it, I fix it. It does use a little bit of oil, a quart every couple thousand miles or so, but give it a break, man. It's 27 years old, and it still gets 40 miles to the gallon. So I don't want to hear about having to buy new things and build new things every time you turn around. It absolutely drives me bonkers seeing people buy new cars every couple of years. Now, it's one thing if you can afford it and you just want a brand new car. It's another thing entirely if you're putting yourself in debt upside down because you didn't take care of what you have, which is exactly what's happening with our aging Wyoming infrastructure. You got a big problem because you didn't fix it when you can. You took the $1.5 billion extra that you didn't know what you were going to do with, socked it away, and didn't fix the things that were absolutely necessary, which, by the way, those things are one of your main jobs in government, one of the few main jobs that you actually have. So the Redcoats have a solution for all of their short-sightedness. They're going to raise the gasoline tax. Isn't that just an incredible idea? At the time when Wyoming citizens can't afford any more taxes, oh, in case you've forgotten, a lot of people have had to sell their homes because they can't pay the property taxes. And here you are suggesting that we ought to increase taxes on fuel. Now, this whole thing in the Transportation Committee started out that they were going to raise the taxes on fuel. And at the same time, they were going to offer a rebate on registration fees so that it would offset the increase in taxes. So that way, the whole thing would be neutral. And that somehow is going to increase revenue. Here's Bonehead Brian Boner saying as much.
So once again, this is a very simple concept. We're trying to make it simple, simpler to understand.
Okay, hold on just a minute. Let me paraphrase. You conservatives are so dumb to be questioning our idea. This whole thing is just easy to understand, and it shocks me that you're so stupid that you can't grasp the concept. Right. Now listen to the rest of this to find out who really is a moron.
We're talking about increasing the tax rate and reducing registration fees so it'd be net neutral. So to turn around and immediately start talking about raising taxes is just not accurate. And I think we need to have a little bit better sense of professionalism on this committee.
And shame on you for being so unprofessional for questioning my motives. It's a good thing I wasn't in that committee meeting. My head probably would have exploded. Here's really what they were planning. So they were going to raise the gasoline tax and offer all of us a rebate. So what we would have to do is pay for the registration on our car, and then we would have to apply for a rebate on the amount that we paid for our registration. And somehow, this was going to make their tax revenue neutral. Now let me tell you why they propose this BS. It's the same trick they pulled with the property tax rebate. You have to take an extra step and apply for it. Most people think that it's too big of a pain in the rear end, so they don't even bother with it. And so, with the property tax rebate, hardly anybody applied for it the first time around. The result being, they got to keep almost all of the tax money that they stole from you. It's almost as crazy as that old Guinness commercial.
I figured out how to carry six beers at the same time.
Carry six beers at the same time? Brilliant!
Brilliant! Tell people we're going to give them their money back, and then we don't have to! Brilliant! Their scheme was pretty much uncovered when our pal Ken Pendergraft, who is a member of the Transportation Committee, said this.
I'm prepared to offer an amendment to this bill that actually makes it a decrease in the tax. We stressed today that a lot of this problem was brought about by inflation. Inflation is in large part due to increased taxation and more government spending, and we create this cycle. And this cycle has to stop. From a businessman's perspective, from a homeowner's perspective, we're facing unprecedented, at least the last 40 years, inflation. We're looking at insurance rates that are skyrocketing. We're looking at property taxes that are skyrocketing. Rocky Mountain Power wants to increase by 30% the bills for a large portion of Wyoming and many of its businesses.
Representative Pendergraft, I want to bring us back to this. I recognize where you're going for, but I'd like to stay on the motion. And I said, I heard that you say you have a potential for an amendment. Let's move on to the amendment, if you're interested in moving to an amendment.
I'm not prepared to move that. I am prepared, but it's not necessary.
Until we see the bill.
Yes, until we see the bill. I just want to add to that, that the fact that we're considering a diesel tax at this time is unconscionable.
Representative Pendergraft said this right before the bonehead soundbite that I played for you a little bit ago. Here it is again for you. The tax increase is not a tax increase.
We're talking about increasing the tax rate and reducing registration fees so it'd be net neutral. So to turn around and immediately start talking about raising taxes is just not accurate. And I think we need to have a little bit better sense of professionalism on this committee.
Hey, listen, bonehead. If it's revenue neutral, there's no reason to do it, which means that it is not revenue neutral. And you know that. All of this is just a shell game, just like the ones you see in that George C. Scott film, The Flim Flam Man. And the truth is, if they had taken care of what they should have been doing, that is fixing our roads, we wouldn't be in this situation. And frankly, we're not really in this situation anyway, because the Redcoats put $1.5 billion in the savings account. In other words, we're swimming in money. They just won't spend it on the things that actually matter to Wyoming citizens. And the beautiful thing about all of this is the Redcoats cannot get out of this argument. They're the ones that put that $1.5 billion in the sock drawer or the pants drawer, wherever they put it. It's their fault that they didn't fix the roads. And so now, to come back to Wyoming taxpayers and say we need more of your money is absolutely ridiculous. Now, what ended up happening at the end of this whole discussion is the Transportation Committee laid the bill back for their next meeting. That is not to say that the bill is dead, because it most certainly isn't. When you put a bunch of liberal redcoats in a room and you say that there's a tax on the table, they're like flies to that homeless encampment down in Casper. Well, anyhow, you get the idea. They didn't do their job in the first place. Now they're coming back to you saying they need more of your money. The best thing that you can do is keep an eyeball on the legislative meetings calendar and show up at their next meeting and ask them, why didn't you take that money out of the $1.5 billion? They won't have an answer. They'll just keep going back to, aren't we conservative? We saved all of this money. Well, that'll about do it for today's installment of the program. Coming on Saturday's installment of Weekend Update, my interview with Chad Prather. I'm telling you, my friends, this is an awesome interview that you definitely don't want to miss. It's the world, according to Chad. And then, on tomorrow's live program, we're going to do a rundown of all the news that's been happening in the last week. There's a whole bunch of stuff that we need to talk about. Remember, you can find the link to the live program at cowboystatepolitics.com or on the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.